Psalms 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river. The streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Heavenly Father, thank you for this psalm. I think of how many times in my Christian life, Lord, it just seems like at sometimes the darkest times, you've led me over to Psalms 46, and I've read it. I've read it and shouted. I've read it and wept. Lord, I've read it when it seemed like I barely had the strength to say the words. But I thank you that it's always there waiting for any Christian who's going through maybe a time of testing and trials and trouble and just needs to be reminded that you're in control. And Lord, I pray that maybe someone came in the door today and they need that reminder. Maybe not. Maybe things are going well. But Lord, we don't know. One phone call can change our circumstance. Lord, a week from now, we can be in a place we never dreamed of, never thought we'd be. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you just help us to tuck these truths deep into our heart. And Lord, to mark this little psalm so that we know where it's at when we need it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I love this phrase, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. God knew that trouble was going to come. What is God saying here? What's he trying to communicate to us through this verse and through this chapter? He's saying that in life, you are going to face trouble. It's on its way. Trouble's coming. He tells us this then. He is our refuge and our strength during those times of trouble. Then we see these three wonderful words, very present help. A very present help. And I love that. God is assuring us that during times of trouble, he will be there. But not just there. I like this. But not just there. He will be very there. How about that? Be very there. And not just very there, but very there for a specific purpose. Very there to bring us aid, to bring us help. What this verse is teaching the Christian, those that are of us that are born again, is that God's presence, think about this, intensifies during times of trouble. Folks, you know what? Have you ever been listening to a sermon? And by the way, you're in the auditorium and you're there. But then the preacher begins to tell a story and it begins to meet a need in your life. And all of a sudden, your attention intensifies and heightens. Yeah, preacher, I was there to hear your sermon. But during that one part, I was very there. I was very there. If those of you that like sports, you know, you sit down, maybe you watch a ball game and you're there and you're watching it. But boy, it gets down to the last drive. It gets down to that where it's a make or break situation. And all of a sudden, you are on the edge of your seat and you're watching this and you're rooting for your team and rooting against the other team. And yeah, you were there the whole game, but now during these last closing seconds, you're very there. I'm glad to be able to tell you that God is always here. He's always there for us. But he looks and sees that trouble's coming. And you know what? He says, even though I'm always there, I want you to know there's times that I'm very there. I come in intensity. My presence intensifies. God, watch this. God's power amplifies during these times of trouble. Whenever one of his children is in trouble, God has promised to, I love this definition of this, to wholly, speedily, exceedingly, especially, quickly, and mightily appear and exist to help and aid in times of trouble. I think every mother in here can understand the difference between being there and being very there. You know, God's given you the watch care of the children, and you know, you're there. And you're watching over them while you're doing some chores. You're watching over them, peeking out the window, making sure they're playing all right and everything's good. Then all of a sudden, one of them has an accident. One of them hurts themselves. You hear that cry that a mother could identify in a heartbeat. She knows who it is, and she knows that this is not a joke, and she knows something serious has happened. And even though you were there the whole day for your kids, buddy, you go busting out that door and you run over, and you in that moment are very there for that child. I want you to know that that's available to you every single day of your life. I'm glad God's there on the normal days, but I'm so glad that he's very there on the hard days, the difficult days. I'm talking about that day when it seems like, you know what, you get about halfway through it and say, why didn't I just stay in bed this morning? It seems like nothing is going right. God is my, and I want you to be able to say this, God is my very present help in trouble. Let me say this, if you're saved today, God is your very present help in times of trouble. Preacher, you keep saying that this is available to those that are saved. Well, you know what? When you get saved, you become a child of God. And your relationship is different with the Lord. Now, during trouble, you have a great opportunity to seek God. Think about this. Troubles come. Preacher, I don't like trouble. I don't like it either. But you know what? During times of trouble, I found out that you have a great opportunity to see God as you've never seen him before. You have a great opportunity to learn things about God that you've never learned before. Seems like during times of trouble, you have an opportunity to become an eyewitness to the intensified presence of God and the amplified power of God as he begins to work through you and around you in that circumstance of trouble. Go, if you will, to Exodus chapter 14. Can I show you just a couple Bible stories where God went from being there to very there? In Exodus chapter 14, I'll give you a little bit of the background. God anointed a man by the name of Moses to go and to face Pharaoh and to insist that he let his people go. And in Genesis chapter number 14, I'm sorry, here we go. Exodus. I keep saying Genesis. Exodus chapter number 14. We see that Pharaoh, after 10 plagues, finally capitulates and says, take them out of here. Get out of here. Take the people of God. And Moses leads them out from Egypt, and he goes all the way to the Red Sea. And then in Exodus chapter 14, Pharaoh has a change of heart. And can I say this, folks? Here comes trouble. Here comes trouble. In Exodus 14, verse 5, and it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots, all the chariots of Egypt, captain over everyone. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea. Now we see in verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out. Now, young people, they had experienced some victory here. Folks, they had experienced the devil coming, or the hand of God coming along and 10 times showing Pharaoh that God was stronger than his gods. And finally, Pharaoh again surrenders and says, get him out of here. But he has a change of heart. Now they find themselves in between the sea on this side, and here comes Pharaoh and all of his chariots. And folks, from a human standpoint, it's a hopeless situation. a hopeless situation. Now, was God there? He's always been there. But God's about to be very there in the life of the Israelites at this time. What do you think about that? And so we look at verse number 10 and 12. And folks, I want to just say this. I think we can all confess that we tend to have the first initial reaction when trouble comes. If you look at 10 and through 12, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now here's the problem. When trouble comes, you know what we tend to do? Here comes trouble, and you know what we do? We focus on the trouble. We start focusing on the trouble, and we see it from a human standpoint. We see it with human eyes. Come on. We feel it with human emotions. We go through the process of trying to rationalize with human thinking, human logic, trying to solve this problem. How do we get out of this situation? And folks, if you're not careful, by the way, if you're lost, that's all you've got to work with. But if you're saved, you know what? There's something else that you have available to you. You have a God who loves you. You have a God who's become your heavenly Father. You have a God that's always been there. And at this point in time, He wants to be very there, and He'll show up. Hey, be careful that you don't start focusing on the trouble and instead get your focus up where it belongs, on God. In verse 11, they said unto Moses, behold, there were no graves in Egypt, that thou that hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell in Egypt, saying, let us alone, for we may that we may better serve that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Again, folks, watch this. Here they are. They're triumphant. Here they are. They've been released. Here they are. They're excited. They didn't just leave Egypt. They spoiled Egypt as they left Egypt. And man alive, isn't it crazy how quick we can go from rejoicing over a victory into despair and loss of faith? And I want to just say this. Thank God for Brother Moses. Amen. Everybody needs a man of God. Everybody needs somebody that's a strong enough Christian that in the middle of trouble will stand up and represent the Lord and remind people, hey, you know what? You've got someone that's willing to fight for you. Verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward? And I'm going to just take these Bible principles as they jump off the page at me and say, you know, a lot of times when trouble comes, the devil sends it because he wants you to stop. You've been growing in the Lord. He wants you to stop growing in the Lord. You've been walking by faith. He wants you to stop walking by faith. You've been experiencing victory. He wants you to stop. And God's like, it's not time to stop because a little bit of trouble come into your life. You know, God's first command to Moses and the first response he wanted from the children of Israel was just keep walking. Well, preacher, you don't understand. They were looking at the sea on this side, and they were looking at the Egyptians on this side, and they would go forward, but what? Well, you didn't hear me, preacher. There's the sea on this side. So what? Go forward. Well, preacher, I don't know how we're going to do this. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Listen. Trouble comes and we quit. Come on. Trouble comes and we just say, well, there's no way to do it. Trouble comes. Listen, you realize that God in heaven is watching over you. I want to say, I wish I could go to every person in this room, and I wish I could go pew by pew, and I wish I could say that to you personally and directly. God loves you, and God watches over you every day, and God knows when trouble's coming. And you know what? He's always there. But you know what? When trouble starts coming, He gets buried there, and He has the ability to see you through anything He asks you to face. Write it down. If we're not troubled, we're so busy. If we're not careful, we're so busy looking at the trouble facing the Egyptians, we forget that there's a God in heaven that's been orchestrating. Go forward. Well, how's this going to work? Just go forward. But the sea is deep. Well, step in where it's not deep and just see what happens. And I want to encourage those of you that, preacher, there's just so many things it seems like we've been hit with. And be honest with you, the devil sits on my shoulder sometime. He tries to convince me that living the Christian life isn't worth it. Now watch this. The devil's a liar, folks. He'll come to you during times of trouble, and he'll try to badmouth God. He'll say, see, God doesn't love you. God could have stopped this. God could have prevented this from happening in your life. And he'll make accusations against God. Folks, listen to me. If no trouble ever comes, if trouble never comes into our life, we never get to experience the very presence of God in our life. Not just the presence of God, the very presence of God. Not just the power of God, the very power of God in our life. You say, preacher, I don't always understand it. Neither do I. But I just know this. God knows Jerry Ross well enough to know that every once in a while I need a little trouble in my life so that I'll seek God on a higher plane. So I'll get to know him in a way I didn't know him before. So that I can tap into a level of grace I've never been able to have before, experience before in my life. Just go forward. And so Moses turns around and looks at the people and says, well, I guess if you want to go back, there you go. I mean, you know, it's funny. They were saying, hey, you just let us out here to die in the wilderness, to die in the wilderness. And if I was Moses, I'd say, well, if you're all in for dying, go that way, because they're more than willing to do the killing, you know. So, but you know what Moses said? Let's stop quiet. You guys are looking here, and you're looking here, and you're not looking here. Just step out. Where's the priest at? Come on, you're supposed to be the spiritual leaders. Come on, dads. Where's the dads at in the home? Where's the dads at in the home? You're supposed to be the spiritual leader. And you know what? You get in front there and you grab the Ark of the Covenant, by the way, which contains the very words of God. Amen. Get a hold of your Bible. This is what he's, in modern days, this is what he's saying. Men, where are you? You're supposed to be the leaders. Get up front. Get your King James Holy Bible. Turn around, wink at your kids, your wife and children, and say, hey, you know what? It's going to be all right. Just follow Daddy. Just follow me. And you know what? Let's go. And we step into that water, and everybody's going, well, what are they doing? And then, watch this, God becomes very present. And he reaches down, and he divides that Red Sea. I love this story, because not only did he divide the Red Sea, come on, those of you that have hung around the edges of Greene County ponds, you know what? When I travel around the country, I call them stripper pits because that's what we call them here. You ought to be a different part of the country where they don't know that term and a preacher's up there talking about a stripper pit. I've been asked not to come back places just because I'm talking about our ponds, so I've started calling them ponds, you know. But and you know, come on, you've hung around the edge. You've been catching. Come on. Come on, country people. You chase those frogs and try to catch them. And there isn't a kid in here that didn't get the bright idea that if I just step off there, I can finally grab that fish, or I lost the lure, I got to get that bobber, and you step in. And folks, there's this much water, then there's this much, what is that stuff? I don't know, but you know what? For millions and millions and millions of years, stink has been held down. But the minute you put your foot in it, it's all released to the heavens, you know. And you know what? I got a great story for you. When God parted that Red Sea, he blew, the Bible calls it, a vehement wind. And he not only parted the waters, he got a big blow dryer and dried the ground. And the Bible said they went across on dry ground, which means that when they were walking across there, they looked down and the dust is kicking up as they're... Are you getting this? Say, preacher, what is this Old Testament about? Why all these Bible stories? So many of them. If I could just put them all into one sentence and one simple explanation, so many of these Bible stories are just to remind you, hey, this is the first time God's faced trouble. And maybe this is the first time you've had to face this, but it's not the first time God's faced it. And you know what? God's been there before, and he knows exactly what to do, and he can get you on the other side. And I think there's probably somebody or somebody's here today that God got you to just get out of your car, and come on, you didn't really want to get in the car today. And God got you to walk up that step when you didn't really want to be here. And God got you to put a smile on your face when you didn't want to smile. And you staggered, I mean, if we looked at you spiritually, you staggered in or you crawled in and you plopped down. And you know what? God brought you here because he wants you to know he knows what's going on. And he knows what you're facing. And he's been there before. And you know what? He's not only present, he is very present. Don't you listen to the devil. He's a liar. Don't you listen to what he's trying to tell you. God loves you. He cares for you. And whatever you're facing today, he's there. And he's not just there. He's very, very there. Can I take you to 1 Samuel chapter number 17? 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I bet you there's a lot of Christians could say, I know what's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. What is it, kids? What story's in 1 Samuel chapter 17? David and Goliath. There you go, David and Goliath. Well, some trouble's coming. Here comes some trouble. Sure does. Of course, David's just a kid. He's not old enough. Bible says that in Bible times, they had to be 20 years of age in order to go into war, to become a part of the army of Israel. So we know he was less than that. Some folks think he was in the 14 or 15 age. Others think he was 17, 18, maybe even 19. But you know what? He had to stay home and watch the sheep while all his brothers went to fight the Philistines. And folks, listen to me. Here's the good guys on one side and the bad guys on the other. Only on the bad guy's side, there's a very bad guy. A very bad guy. Here comes trouble. David shows up. Jesse, his dad, says, David, listen, I'm going to send you on an errand. And I'm going to send you some food for your brothers. And I want you to take some gifts to King Saul. And don't you think that boy wasn't excited? You know how many times he's out there watching the sheep and he's thinking about his older brothers and they're out there protecting Israel. And how many times he tried to line the sheep up and pretend they were Philistines. And you know, I mean, he and all of a sudden daddy brings him in and says, here, you're going to go to the front line. And boy, you don't think he wasn't excited about that. And so he shows up. He shows up, verse 17, and on down. Then we see in verse 20, and David rose up early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench, and as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle, for Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army, and David left the carriage in the hand of the keeper of his carriage. Said, preacher, why do you think he was so excited? Look at what it says next. And ran into the army. I love that little phrase. You're talking about an excited teenage boy, man. I mean, when it says he ran into the army, I'm not sure he didn't. Can you see him running through the camp and all of a sudden he's not watching where he's going and he hits one of the soldiers and falls down and he lays down there and he's like, man, I'm so glad to meet you. And he jumps up and takes off again. I mean, he's just glad to be there, you know, glad to be there. And it says that he ran into the army and came and saluted his brother. Wait a minute, watch this. Everything's going good. Here comes trouble. Come on, here comes trouble. Verse 23, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines. Watch this. And spake according to the same words, and David heard them. What are the same words? You got to go back to verse 8. Look over to verse 8. And he stood and cried, this is Goliath, unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to fight me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And folks, let me tell you, this is the words that he said day after day. And David shows up and here comes trouble. Here comes trouble. What is going on with Saul and the armies? Let me remind you again, folks. They got focused on the trouble. Look at verse number 11. That when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and were greatly afraid. Listen, I'm not going to throw rocks. I'm not going to throw stones. So many times troubles come into my life, something that I did not expect. And you know what? Folks, listen, let's show a little grace and mercy to each other. Don't judge any Christian on their initial reaction because, folks, until you've been there and you've faced it, don't say what you would do or what you wouldn't do. You don't know. And you know what? I think every time something like this, I'm not talking about some little problem, folks. I'm not talking about some little hangnail of a problem. I'm talking about here comes a Goliath, here comes a giant. And David and the children of Israel and Saul, they didn't react properly. You know why? Please listen, because they got focused on the trouble. Listen, I'm going to just encourage you, okay? All right? You've talked about the trouble, and you've talked about the trouble, and you've talked about the trouble. Can I just have you leave here today and start talking about God? You focused on the trouble and focused on the trouble and focused on the trouble till it's made you faint of heart. Isn't it time to open your King James Holy Bible? And by the way, Psalms 46 is an awfully good place to start when you need to be reminded that there is a God in heaven and he knows all about your Goliath and he knows all about your situation and he knows how dark it looks. But God is always there. But in this valley of Elah, God is very there. He's a very present in the time of trouble. And so what happens? Thank God. Are you listening to me? Thank God for a Moses. Thank God for a David. You know, all of us need a Moses and a David from time to time, just come into our lives and look at us and say, wait a minute. I know that you're looking this way, and I know you're looking this way, children of Israel. And you know what? Armies of Israel, I know you're looking here, and I know you're looking at this giant. But let me remind you that we have a God, and he's in control of everything. And you know what? That giant doesn't scare my God. That giant doesn't scare my God. I want to say that we all need a Moses and a David from time to time. Please listen to me, mature Christians especially. Sometimes you need to be that Moses and David for somebody else. Boy, watch your brothers and sisters in Christ. Watch people in the church that are going through difficult times. It gives you a great opportunity to come alongside them with some empathy and some sympathy, not in a judgmental tone, but with some empathy and sympathy, and say, listen, I can't even begin to understand everything you're facing, but I do know this. I've seen trouble come. But boy, you ought to see God come when trouble comes. And I know it's hard. And I know that it's easy to get focused on that. But I'm praying for you. And I want you to see God in a way you've never seen him before. And here he, you know what? David's about to see God. Saul's about to see God. The armies of Israel about to see God in a way they've never seen him before. And here he comes. He shows up. Here comes David, verse 26. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? Nobody's talking about killing the Philistine except David. They're trembling and running and hiding, and taketh away the reproach of Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I like it. I like it. You know, folks, instead of every time trouble comes folding like a lawn chair, why don't you stand up for the Lord? Why don't you stand up in the power of God? Come on, exercise that faith a little bit. Thank you, David. Thank you, David. By the way, if you stand up and do that, that doesn't mean that you're not going to be criticized for it. Verse 28, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard that when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And I think David's a little perplexed right now. He's like, yeah, I'll admit it. I was excited to come. I wanted to see you, my brother. I wanted to see my brave brothers. I wanted to see my king. But I didn't want to see it like this. And then he says this answer. Watch this. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Well, I want to remind you something. Please, please, let this minister to your heart. But you know what? When trouble comes, that's the time to remember there's a cause. There's a cause greater than me. There's a cause greater than you. Because not only is God that very present help, and I mean, does his attention intensify? Listen to me. But the world's attention intensifies on the Christian when they face trouble. Well, they talk a lot about church and a lot about Jesus when things are going well, but what are they going to do now that a Goliath has come down? And you know what David said? He looked at the Goliath. He looked at Goliath and he listened to what he had to say. But he remembered that there was a God, and he remembered that there was a cause. And he's thinking, you know what, folks? Come on now, let me help you. We're not representing our God very well right now, gentlemen. We're letting some pagan badmouth our God, defy the armies of Israel. And we're over here quaking and shaking. And you know what? Yeah, he was a little boy. I like it when teenage boys sometimes step up when nobody else does. I like it when teen girls sometimes step up and remind all of us that it sure was good days in our life when we had that young, simple faith. And you say, well, preacher, life hasn't battered them down yet. Well, it shouldn't have battered you down either. Okay, well, how you doing? Well, I guess all right under the circumstance. Well, what are you doing under there? But I like it. I like it when every once in a while a young person just kind of reminds us all, here comes this little squirt of a guy, and he walks up and he listens. It's simple. Life's simple for him. And he doesn't know all the complexities of politics. He doesn't understand even all the complexities of the army and the rank. And he doesn't get all of that. All he knows is here comes trouble, and he's talking bad about my God. And my God's here, and there's a cause, and God's name's being shamed, and somebody needs to shut his mouth. So you know what he does? He goes to the king. Can you imagine this little squirt of a kid walking into the king's presence? And the king, you know, Saul says, "What? You don't understand. You're just a little boy. This man's a man of war from his childhood. When he was a boy, listen, you're watching sheep. He was killing people when he was your age." And he said, "How do you expect to pull this off?" And David just sits there in his simple shepherd clothes, and he's got this sling, and he pulls it out. And he said, "Well, king, I don't know a whole lot, but I know this. There was a lion that came. And he tried to take the sheep. And you know what? God gave me extraordinary strength and victory and accuracy with the sling that day. And I rent that lion in half. And then it wasn't that much later. And a bear came. And you know what? God gave me the strength to defeat him. And if God can give me the strength to defeat a lion and a bear, you know what? God can be here. Listen, Saul, let me remind you something. God was always there when I was watching the sheep. But when that lion came, he got very there and he helped me through that. And God was always there when I was watching the sheep. But when that bear came, God got very there and he gave me the strength I needed to face down that bear. I don't see why this is any different." King Saul tried to give him his armor and his big sword and all that stuff. And David, I mean, can you imagine this little kid? King Saul was a head higher than all the people of Israel. I think by the time he got all that stuff on, he's like, "I can't even walk. I can't even move." And I think a part of him said, "King, I don't want to be disrespectful, but I didn't have this man stuff on when I faced that bear, and I didn't have this man armor on when I faced the lion. I just had God. I just had God. I think I'll just go down with God." And you know what? I think Saul prayed over him, blessed him, gave him the last rites, and thought he'd never see him again, you know. But that little boy walked down into that creek down at the bottom of that valley, and he reached down, picked up 5 smooth stones. Just a few weeks from now, y'all going to get a chance to try to kill some Goliaths out here. I think Brother Gordon was talking about, do we have one place where they can try the original old-fashioned sling? And then we got talking about the possibilities of all the different directions that that rock could go. So maybe way off in the corner over here, we're going to let some of you do the David thing, but you're going to have to sign a release form so that we're not medically responsible for anything that happened. But, you know, David, he'd proven that. And he picked up those 5 smooth stones, and he walked up the hill, and that man started cursing and cursing him and cursing his God. And you know what? All of a sudden, folks, I think David had that moment where he knew it's already won. I think he felt God come into him in a way he'd never felt in his life. And it's hard to explain, because in a situation where most of us would be terrified out of our minds, that little boy just put a smile on his face. And it says as that Philistine advanced towards David, listen, this kid that ran into the army, said, "You know what, I'm going to go get that guy." And he ran to meet the Philistine. Oh, where's that faith at? Where's that faith at? Preacher, this is like a tsunami. You don't understand everything that's happening. I get it. I've had my tsunami moments. Everybody in this room that's been saved any amount of times had those times where you don't know how you're going to make it through the next day. But I just want to, I mean, this is why God sent, I think, this message, just to remind you that God's always there. But buddy, there's those handful of times where the Goliaths come. There's a handful of times when here comes all the chariots of Egypt and there's no way out. And God, can I say this and not sound disrespectful? God says, "It's time for me to show off a little bit. It's time for me to just show everybody just what a great God I am, and how much I love my children, and what I'll do to protect my children." I don't know. We're done. I don't know when we get to the end of 2019, if we went back to our calendar. I don't know how many days of trouble out of 365 days. I don't know how many days of trouble will be on that calendar. And I know when you're going through it, you just want to color those days in black marker. You just, maybe a whole week, maybe a whole month, you just want to. But I think by the time you get to the year and you're reviewing it, you may look back at those dark, black marked days, and you might smile and say, I saw God that day. I saw God that month. I've got a story that I can tell to my children. I've got a story I can tell to my grandchildren. And this is how I'm going to start it. Kids, I want you to know something. When trouble comes, God comes double time. And when trouble seems big, God will show you just how big He is. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thought we might get down to the verses that follow. It's encouraging to read. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. No matter what is brought into our life and how, no matter how it moves and rearranges our world, I thank You that you're still there. But not just there. Thank You that you're very there. And Lord, thank You that there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. And Lord, there's going to be a place of peace and rest one day where no trouble will come. Lord, thank You for loving Your children. Thank You for always being there. Thank You for at times being very present. Lord, I pray for that one that may be here without Jesus Christ as their Savior. Today would be the day they walk an aisle. Come on up here, talk to Brother Brian. Have him get somebody, take the Bible, and show them how to be saved. I pray for that Christian. Maybe they're just going through a dark week, a dark month. I pray that they'd help. I pray that You'd help them, Lord. Help them in a way they've never been helped. Help them to know You in a way they've never known You. Help them to see something miraculous that they can lean on and they can retell for the rest of their life. We pray these things in Jesus' name.